Our last reflection comes from John 19, 38 through 42. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. When he took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, which no one had yet been laid. So they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. And so we draw to the end, and it's appropriate that we end almost where we began, in a garden. See, for Jesus, his passion began in a garden. It began in the Garden of Gethsemane a few hours before, quietly, prayerfully, alone, with the people who were supposed to be with him, letting him down. And now, he's dead. And those same people who were supposed to be with him are gone. And while St. John's Gospel doesn't make it clear, other evangelists do. And they say that, well, we've got Nicodemus, and we've got Joseph of Arimathea, and Mary and Mary Magdalene, and a few other women. But the other apostles, and even John, even the beloved, are not there. It's Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and a few women. And everyone else is gone. And he's in a garden by himself. And it makes sense that he should find himself in a garden now, because, of course, the battle against sin started in a garden. All those centuries, even millennia ago, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve first fell, and the very first prophecy came that the seed of woman would crush the serpent. But at this point in time, I don't think anybody believed that that was coming to pass. I think, like we've heard, everyone was just thinking about either how much they'd let Jesus down. Either they were the apostles who were running and hiding and crushed and desperate and thinking, they're coming for me next, and just waiting for the, not the knock on the door, but the boot through the door, and the legion to come through and grab them, and within a few minutes they would be up there on a cross too. Or maybe they were thinking, like Mary, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? What should I have taught him that would have led him on a different path, that would have kept him from this point? Parents often think about, what did I do that led my child to this place? Whether it's their fault at all or not, every parent says, man, what did I do wrong? So Mary had to be thinking something about that. But then you've got Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Going back to Father Rick, The Pharisees were fair, you see, because they did believe in the resurrection. It's the other half of that story. And they also believed in angels and various other things. It's one of the things that kept the Pharisees and the Sadducees fighting. St. Paul used it against them when he was put on trial. He said, you know, I'm on trial for the resurrection. Next thing you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are fighting amongst themselves, and Paul just kind of steps back. But Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the people. He had authority. He had followers. He could have done something. He could have said something. He came to Jesus early in Jesus' ministry. Man, that was chapter 3. That was a long time ago. And he heard the message. And it says, by the way, he came to him at first by night. If you read that closely, it means that wasn't the only time he came to him. The first time he came to him, it was at night. And he came to him more times after that. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. He was a member of the council. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. These were members of the Jewish ruling authorities. They were part of that kangaroo court. Now, maybe they weren't there. Maybe they were ignored. But they could have done something. They had to have thought, I should have said something. I could have done something. I let him down. And here they were, and he was dead. But in spite of that, here they are. Peter's gone. Even John's left. Peter's betrayed him. Judas has hung himself. No telling where anybody else is. But we've got these two men here. Their devotion extends even after he's dead. Even after the dream has come to a close. He's dead. He's not going to ride in here on a white horse and overthrow the Romans and cast them out and establish the new Jewish monarchy. That's what the Jews wanted for the Messiah. They wanted a new military king. They wanted a second David. And it's not going to happen. Romans are still in charge. Heck, they just executed him. So much for that. But their devotion didn't stop. They loved him even after he was dead. In spite of their failure, in spite of their failings, they kept on being devoted to him. And that's worth noting. Peter denied him, ran away, even John left. Judas hung himself, but Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea tended to him and were devoted to him in death. Even though they failed, they said, I'm still going to serve. Even though it's all over, I'm still going to do my best now. regardless of how much I've screwed up in the past, I can do what I'm going to do now, and I can serve. How many times have we thought it was over? And God showed it wasn't over. How many times have we thought there's nothing more that can be done? And God showed that there was more to be done. How many times have people given up and walked away? And God showed that it wasn't time to quit. These two men showed that you can still serve, even in despair, and even when you think it's over. Even when you think you failed and you missed your opportunity, because that's what they thought. They thought they had an opportunity to stand up for Jesus and say, don't do it. He's the King of the Jews. He's exactly who he says he is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. I've seen him heal people. I've seen him cast out demons. And they kept their mouth shut. Or somebody silenced them, or somebody pushed them away. They didn't say it loud enough. Whatever happened, it wasn't enough. They should have done more. Anybody ever have that thought about something they've done? Don't quit. It's not over. Your opportunity isn't missed. It's changed. You still have an opportunity to serve God. It's not the same opportunity that it was, but it's still an opportunity. These men aren't known for how they stood up and shouted for Jesus at his trial. They're known for how they attended to him in his death. They're known for how they kept being faithful in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the appearances. What circumstances have you missed out on? What opportunities have you failed in? When have you dropped the ball? Did you give up? Have you given up? Are you giving up? You still have a chance to serve. How can you be like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea? How can you still be faithful even when looking at the death of what you thought you were looking at?